Hare Krishna. So we'll briefly review what we discussed last session. We did the Chaturshloki Gita, right? 8 to 11. Just some of our points you remember. Verse number
8.
He's saying that he is the source of everything.
And
everything
is
from him.
He's saying he's the source of everything.
And
it's not disturbed by whatever other commentaries other people are saying. He's simply not disturbed.
It's not disturbed. And what happens to people who know that Krishna is the source? Second phrase of the translation.
Who engage in perfect worship? No.
Engage all.
By all worship.
By all means.
With all their hearts. Yeah. Okay. Text number 9. Krishna is talking about his the qualities of pure devotees, right? Mm.
And 11 is what you get back in.
So what are some of the qualities? Like, always think about Krishna. Then they always try to render service to the Lord.
And they also talk only the transcendental subject.
They only talk about Krishna. No? That's one. Very nice, you know. So the whatever they say manasa diya vacha, right? The thoughts, actions and words. Mm. These are the three ways. These three ways we are supposed to worship the Lord, or rather, you know, absorb ourselves in the Lord. So thoughts, actions, service, and vacha, words. Yeah, very good. Yeah, now only it occurred to me. Yeah, that's good. The manasa, diya, vacha, they are absorbed in Krishna. This one verse in Nectar of Instruction, I think. The karmana manasa gira. Yeah, this is the verse. Nikilasvahi avistasu jivan mukta sochate. So person while in this world, if he engages himself in service of the Lord with mind, body and words, so even though he is in this world, he is already considered liberated. That's a verse from Nectar of Devotion. Yes, from
there is a dear.
So thoughts of my pure devotee dwell in me. So in thoughts, this is number
9.
So in thoughts, manasa diya vacha, right? Mind, thought, right?
Mm.
And then actions. Their lives are devoted to my service.
Mm.
Manasa then vacha is words. Diya means through the body. And vacha is words. They always converse about Krishna. So the three, all the three, especially that's why we call this, ours are called Tridandi Sannyasa. No, generally Mayavadi sannyasa are ekadanda sannyasa. Means, you know, the stick they carry, right? Sannyasis, they have a sannyasi cloth, within that there is a stick, right? So Mayavadis have only one stick, but Vaishnava sannyasis have three sticks. That's why we are called Tridandi sannyasa.
Carry three sticks?
Yeah, there are three sticks inside them. Inside the cloth, there are three sticks tied together.
Mm-hmm.
That means to say, in all the three ways, I am surrendering to the Lord. In all the three
ways.
Manasa, diya, vacha. Body, mind and words. Okay, so text number 10 and 11, that's Krishna's reciprocation. So in text number 10, what does he do?
He's giving the perfect example of what Buddhi Yoga is.
Mm.
The second chapter was just like a brief introduction.
Mm-hmm. Like, but verse, what does he say in the verse? What does Krishna say in the verse?
He is the one who gives the knowledge
to come back to him.
So he guides the devotee step by step. Especially last paragraph was very touching. He was saying even if somebody is connected to an organization and somebody is initiated, but somehow they don't know how to make progress. But in that those cases also, if somebody is sincere, Krishna will help him. That's very important, you know. That's Krishna's divine mercy. That's why Bhakti Yoga is so... Look, Lord is involved. Other process, mystic yoga and other processes, we are endeavoring on our own, right? So then we can progress as much as our capacity is. But here, Lord himself is helping us. There's so much help, right? So text number 10. So what does he do, Lord, to show the special mercy?
Provides intelligence.
He provides intelligence and?
once the goal is the goal, you know that Krishna is the goal, and then you progress towards it
step by step. No, in text number 11, what does he do? Because we progress step by step, but many times we are blocked because of what?
Ignorance.
Because of material enjoyment, because of ignorance. Because we are thinking, you know, this is happiness. Even hog is saying he's happy. Indra came as a hog. Everybody knows the story, right? Indra came as a hog, and then Brahma said, you know, your position is vacant, it's causing disturbance, you come back. He said, no, what is this? You know, I'm very happy with my hog children and hog wife. You know, why are you calling me back? So that's the material illusion is so strong, actually, because of the embodiment and identification with the body. So that ignorance somebody has to remove. We try to enjoy because of that ignorance, because we feel there is happiness. But when somebody clears that happiness and we feel like, okay, actually I don't have any taste. Shalini Mataji was telling, right? She used to enjoy so much watching movies, and suddenly she feels she doesn't have taste. If that comes, it's so easy. That comes because of Lord's mercy. A higher taste comes because of Lord's mercy. Because he gives that shining lamp of knowledge, he removes the darkness. So, and how does the Lord's mercy come? Everybody has to do some service. Now, how do we attract Lord's mercy? That's what I think I meant. See, Lord's mercy is there. It's like rain everywhere. So, what determines us from receiving that mercy versus other person?
Sincere desire.
Our earnestness. And our earnestness is not just in the thought, right? It's not like, oh, I desire strongly about Krishna. When we desire strongly about Krishna, it shows in our actions. When we show our earnestness to come back to Krishna, that's when we attract Krishna's mercy. Then he will see, okay, this soul really, really wants to come back to me. So I'm going to remove all the obstacles, whatever is needed for them to make progress. It's our eagerness, our earnestness to come back to Krishna. That's how we, mercy is there like rain falling everywhere, but some plants grow, but sometimes some stone doesn't move. Right? So when we have the heart in the state of recipient state, like, you know, I want mercy, give me mercy, in a begging state, then we can absorb the mercy. But otherwise,
the example you said, the seed is on the rag, so nothing
exactly
happens, you have to put in the
fertile ground and water it. Yeah, so we have to prepare our heart to receive that mercy. Mercy is there, so much abundant mercy is there through, you know, Krishna, through his, you know, all this thing is his mercy, right? His books, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, you know, his holy name. Whole day we are associating with him. Service, and then, you know, prasadam, Lord's devotees. So much mercy. But how much we really receive Krishna through those different things? Now, this reminds me of one very nice, important lecture I listened from Radhanath Maharaj long time back. He's talking about this verse, Yeyatamam Prapadyante. I don't know the title of the lecture. It's a very old lecture, actually. So it's going deep into this phrase. Krishna says, Yeyatamam Prapadyante, means as one surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. That's the English translation of the verse. So he's going deep into that verse and he's saying, if you look at the purport, actually, Prabhupada covers it in various levels, actually. First he says, for example, impersonalists, jnanis and yogis and devotees. All of them want Krishna in a different ways. Impersonalists want him as impersonal. Yogis want him as, you know, yoga, like, you know, as Paramatma. Mystic yogis, right, like that, they're different people, they want Krishna in a different way. So he will give them accordingly. He will see them as impersonal, they will see them as Paramatma, they will see them as Bhagavan. That's at one level of reciprocating accordingly. Next level, Prabhupada in the purport also covers that this Yayatamam reciprocation is like how among the devotees in spiritual world, somebody wants to be Krishna's mother, somebody wants to be Krishna's friend, somebody wants to be his servant. In these five ways also, Krishna is reciprocating according to the mood of the devotee. Right? These are different levels of understanding. More deeper, more practical, which Radhanath Maharaj explains in his lecture, he says that in a day-to-day, our contact with various aspects of devotional service, according to the way we approach towards Krishna, that's how much Krishna will reveal to us. Now, how eager we are for Krishna's devotees association, how much we relish, how much we value it, that much we get out of the association. how much we value the prasadam, how much we honor it, how much we respect it, that much we feel Krishna's mercy through the prasadam. How much we value seeing the DT, it's not like, oh yeah, every day I go and see the DT. You see the point? So now, in order to understand more clearly, like, you know, a person who is earnest and eager, they will say, oh, how fortunate, any day it may be, any number of years later, you know, how fortunate I am to, you know, stand in front of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord is seeing me, no, I wish I can be more purified to serve the Lord. If you have that feeling every time we visit, versus, oh yeah, oh, this dress, yesterday, one last week only, we wear this dress, you know, not so great, like, you know, something casual, you know. You see, I'm just trying to make up such that you can understand the difference, you know, the difference in the mood. So this is what is bhakti, right? Bhakti is the bhava. The bhava is what Krishna is accepting. So based on that feeling we offer to the Lord, He will reciprocate. If we accept, if we see the Lord as casual and ordinary in various aspects in devotional service, He will reveal like that. Eventually, we feel holy name is nothing actually. By committing offenses, by chanting like that neglectfully, eventually, that's the realization we get, that okay, actually there is no good when compared to chanting versus chanting Coca-Cola. That's a realization we get, because that's what we want to receive from Krishna. But if we say, no, this is what I heard, at least I'll try to put my best, you know, based on my situation, Krishna knows, but I'll try to do my best in chanting, then within that Krishna is going to reveal the, you know, greatness of the holy name and the mercy through the holy name and the power of the holy name.
So Mataji, offense isn't like a
seen?
It's a papa. Like, is it
seed?
Doing some offense, knowing or unknowing, is the same as a papa, like the seen?
No, that's sinful reaction, that's material. This are, see how we get spiritual blessings, these are spiritual offenses. Offenses in devotional life have, the effect will come back not as material reaction, sometimes it may come back as material reaction, but it majorly, most importantly, it will come back as our hampering in our devotional life. We will not be able to make progress. Our spiritual life will get threatened. See, materially, if you do some sin, you will get material reaction. Maybe, you know, hand will get cut or something like that. You know, that you can live by, and still you can, your devotional life will not get affected. In the sense, you still have the same feeling towards Krishna and his devotees. That's what is our spiritual life. What is our feeling?
My chanting is definitely that... good for sure. I know, but constantly I have to, you know, pull myself back to listening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, mind is wandering.
Yeah.
Knowing, yes. It just goes again.
Yes. Yes.
It's going on. So definitely offenses are.
No. So that's why, you know, Krishna knows there are different phases of chanting, right? Nama, Aparadha, Nama, Basa, Nama, Shuddha Nama. So we are all in most of it in a Nama Aparadha stage where we are committing offenses while chanting.
Nama Aparadha, then second.
Nama Basa means clearing of holy name. Like, you know, we are not committing so many offenses, but still we don't see the pure holy name. Next one is chanting the pure holy name. Shuddhanam. So Krishna knows all that, but the thing is, are we working on pulling the mind back? That's the only thing we need to show. But if that also we leave it, that anyway it's going to go, and we invest in that mind wandering and we make it as a project and plan for the day and things like that, then we are not being serious. Yeah, that's the difference. If you are serious, as you are saying, you know, I'm bringing the mind back, that's good. You know, we are making progress. Yeah, anyway, I'm also struggling with my chanting. But somehow, you know, we have to speak. Okay, so then text number 12 to 13. So today we'll cover some sections. This is a prelude where now Arjuna is speaking. Based on the reaction, based on the Chatushtaloki Gita, now let's see what is Arjuna's reaction. Arjuna vacha param brahma param dama pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam devyam nadi devam majam vibhum ahastvam srushaye sarve devashir naratastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Svayam Cheva Bravishime. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. So Arjuna is in very much in awe and reverence mood. Now he's no longer treating Krishna as friend, and he's glorifying him with all his opulences. Actually, this, whenever, if you carefully listen to Srila Prabhupada's lecture, whenever he asks this question all the time, or rather, these verses are quoted in the context to understand that whenever we say, you know, Bhagavad Gita has to be understood the way Arjuna has understood it. How does Arjuna understand it? Then we say this verse, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. After understanding about Krishna, Arjuna accepted Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. So at the end of Bhagavad Gita reading, we have to come to that understanding. Not like thinking Krishna is my friend, is my ordinary friend. But we should come to the understanding that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the purest, he is unborn, everything. Then that is the right understanding of Gita. So that's the context, if you notice, it's quoted always these verses. So other than just Arjuna accepting, he's also saying that many great sages have accepted this. So it's not like only me. So he's also quoting previous sages. So it's a large, long purport. We'll just read one section. No, where Prabhupada says, you know, why the last few lines in the first paragraph, it is not that because Krishna is Arjuna's
intimate friend that Arjuna is flattering him by calling him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Whatever Arjuna says in these two verses is confirmed by the Vedic truth. Vedic injunctions affirm that only one who takes to devotional service to the Supreme Lord can understand him, whereas the others cannot. Each and every word of this verse spoken by Arjuna is confirmed by Vedic injunction.
So that's the point, you know, it's not because he's my friend is flattering. He's saying, you know, these are all absolute truth. These are all the real truths from the Vedas. So further down, Prabhupada gives different Vedic, because he's saying, right, it's confirmed by Vedic injunctions. So he's quoting different Vedic injunctions to substantiate each of the phrases Arjuna was saying, that, you know, you're eternal, you're transcendental, original person, unborn, greatest. Everything, they're different Vedic phrases. We can just read the last paragraph.
Here Arjuna expresses himself through the grace of Krishna. If we want to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we should accept the statements in these two verses. This is called the Parampara system, acceptance of the disciplic succession. Unless one is in the disciplic succession, he cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita. It is not possible by so-called academic education. Unfortunately, those proud of their academic education, despite so much evidence in Vedic literatures, stick to their obstinate conviction that Krishna is an ordinary person.
So these points we know already. Only if we understand Bhagavad Gita in the Parampara system, we can understand as it is. I remember initially when that's how I came, right? I was searching for, you know, solution for my problem. Then I felt somehow intuitively, Gita has Gita can solve the problems. So I was searching online. I found like so many versions of Gita. I was confused. Then I asked the devotees, you know, can you give me a reference to Bhagavad Gita for novice, for new people? Then they said, you know, this is not meant to be read on your own. You have to discuss among devotees. Then you'll understand. Of course, you know, at that time, you know, we are achievers, right? You know, we can figure out masters, bachelors, everything. So we thought we can figure out Gita. So then I was like, oh, okay, that, but it's okay. Some sense was there. So we started attending the sessions and we got the right understanding. The mercy of the devotees. Anybody has an experience reading Bhagavad Gita before coming to devotees? Anybody? No? You did?
No, I tried to understand.
Oh, whole Bhagavad Gita you read, right? I remember.
Not whole, but I was always stuck with the second chapter.
Uh-huh.
But I would go through that, but nothing got inside me. Like it is so.
Same, this book only you read.
This same book only. Rakesh had got this one because he was staying with the devotees. They used to stay share an apartment. I think Sundar Prabhu was with him, some other Prabhu. So he had the book. So I was reading that book, couldn't understand that thing. So, but I would always go there, try to understand. But then only after I started attending your classes is when I got some understanding.
Yeah.
At least I can, to my family, at least I can speak 2 minutes.
Nice. Yeah, so the thing is, it's not about me or anybody. The thing is, we are submitting to Krishna's system. That's the point Krishna appreciates. That's why he gives the knowledge. It's not like, okay, such and such person can, you know, speak well, this person cannot speak well. Because we are submitting to Krishna's system, it works. You see the point? So, that's, you know, in elsewhere also I saw the same concept, like everywhere, anywhere else. like, you know, parents are meant to be authority of the children. Like, you know, they are supposed to, I was reading that book, right? So he was telling that. So that is Krishna system. That's how he created. If you go along with Krishna system, it will work. If you try to go beyond, no, change the system, then you will be on your own. So then nothing will work. Okay, text number 14. We'll go to the next verse. Sarvam etadritam manne yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidurdevana danava. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. So he is also accepting completely, you know, I totally accept. And I also accept that neither the demigods nor demons can understand your personality. So do we have some examples? Can you share some examples of some demigods who didn't understand Krishna?
Brahma,
Brahma Vimohan Leela. He's, briefly, you can tell the pastime. Briefly, just if two lines.
Yeah, Brahma tried to kidnap his friends to see what will God do. And he got bewildered when he saw Krishna manifesting.
So he felt like, you know, how can this boy who's eating, you know, food from his friends could be personality of Godhead? You know, I doubt it. So he wanted to test it out. And then?
Indra.
Indra? How Indra? What? Yeah.
Govardhan Hill,
yeah.
That whole
detail. No, yeah. So he wanted to chastise Rajavasis, Krishna's intimate devotees, right? Because he got bewildered who is the personality of Godhead. He forgot that Krishna is only giving me the powers. Some more incidents? Any more else? You were saying something. Also Indra. These are the many were like famous.
Even
Satyabhama. Bewildered.
She thinks that he is her own person and she don't think the henpecked husband. She can measure him with the gold, she can weigh him like gold, but she was not like with the devotional, she's not seeing. Whereas Rukmini, she was like too much, she was devotional to Krishna, so she proves that devotion is more higher than the relationship, like he is my husband.
Yeah. At least in that Leela, they manifest as if she doesn't understand Krishna.
Just for
But they have different moods actually. You know, in they are like, they are Radharani's expansions, the Gopi queens, and Radharani, the other person is Chandravali, right? There are two wings, left wing Gopis, right wing Gopis. I don't know whether you know. So one type of Gopis, I don't know which, maybe right wing Gopis are submissive to Krishna. They completely obey whatever Krishna say, you know, whatever, you know, he says this, just follow. Very submissive. Left wing Gopis are very, they challenge Krishna all the time. They, you know, demand Krishna. They, like Radharani is the leader of left wing. Chandravali is the leader of right wing Gopis. And their expansions are Rukmini and Satyabhama. So Chandravali is Rukmini and is Satyabhama. That's why her mood is like that. She is Radharani, right? So she fights all the time, she dominates and all those things, the same mood is like that.
But now it's contradicted because
he's
saying Satyabhama didn't see Krishna with devotion.
No, that's why I wanted to clarify. You know, it appears like that.
But Radha is an epitome of devotion.
No, in that incident, Krishna wanted to prove. Maybe there is, I don't know the full import of what Vaishnava Acharyas explained that incident. Whether, you know, maybe Satyabhama got proud little bit, Krishna wanted to, you know, curb her like that, and for that reason, you know, he made sure, you know, because Krishna could have done either way. Even Tulsi leaf could have come, you know, he would have given chance to go. He could have done either way. But that's how Krishna, you know, let it happen. So I don't know what's the deep import of how our Vaishnava Acharyas explain. That's why I was making a comment there. They are actually expansions of the Lord, you know, it's not like ordinary people. That's what I wanted to say. Okay. Then, okay, some demons who don't understand, obviously demons don't understand Krishna. Shishupala, he thought, you know,
Kamsa.
And somebody who comes with
four hands.
Who is that? Shishupala, right?
Shishupala
only, right?
Hands
fall as soon as he puts hands like Vishnu and says, you know, same color dress, how Krishna wears, like that exactly, he paints and.
Not Shishupala.
No, that's not Shishupala.
That's somebody else, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Somebody else, they come like that exactly, saying, you are not Vishnu, I am Vishnu, he says. Okay. So demons also hardly can understand. Okay. So let's read last three lines. Acceptance. The acceptance by Krishna, Arjuna.
The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So the thing is, all that Krishna says, we should accept. That's a, no, we should not pick and choose what verses in Bhagavad Gita we like. No, I don't like Manmana, but I like, you know, what is that verse? Karmanevadikaraste. That first two lines I like, I don't like last two lines. That's why people cheat, right? They say, no, Krishna says, even if you're not entitled to fruits of your labor, but at the same time, you're not supposed to not do your duty.
Yes.
So they want to skip the last line. It says, you know, where you're not supposed to not do his duty. So they want to stick to the first two lines, you know. Anyway, you know, I'm not the doer. That's what the first two lines says. I'm not the person who creates a fruits. I'm not entitled to the fruits. So he says, anyway, I'm not the doer, so I'll not do anything. So that's fine. Okay, text number 15. Svayam etatmanatmanam vetatvam purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. So we can see Arjuna's mood now. He's like so much, oh my God, he's like so much in awe and reverence. So here he's saying very important point. He's saying you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. Only Krishna, you only can know yourself. Nobody else can know you as much as you know. Right, because Krishna is ever expanding. Anantashesha, with all his mouths, so many unlimited mouths, is continuously narrating pastimes of the Lord, glories of the Lord, and is never, it's still not exhausted. Continuously, from the time the universe got created, Anantashesha lies in the, he's in the garbhut, inside the universe, right? He lies down, the Lord lies down on him, right? Yeah, and it is the second Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya. Yeah, no, that is Karanodakshaya Vishnu. This is the second Vishnu, the one within the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he lies down on the Anantashesha, and the Anantashesha is holding all the planets, right, on the heads. So that Anantashesha, with every mouth is glorifying the Lord from the time the universe started. But still, he is not exhausted of his glories. That's how, wonderful are Lord's activities and glories. So many of them, we don't know anything. Then other point is to understand this is like, even Lord, but at the same time, this is also not true. You alone know yourself. Actually, Krishna also doesn't know himself completely. You know, this is actually contradictory, because how can God not know anything? The way it is like, no, because he's forever expanding actually. There is one... maybe I'll paraphrase it. It may not be exactly the way it is. But there is one exchange between Radharani and Krishna. It is said that seeing Krishna's maybe beauty or something, seeing Krishna's beauty, seeing Krishna's beauty, Radharani's love increases. She's charmed by his beauty. Krishna's. You know, peacock feather, Krishna's color and everything. She's charmed and her love increases. When Radharani's love increases, Krishna's beauty increases. So it goes on forever like this, back and forth. See, it's unlimitedly, both are increasing. His love is increasing, his beauty is increasing. So like that, unlimitedly it's increasing. So another point is, that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also comes, right? Because as Krishna, he could understand everything except what is the feeling one gets in loving him? What's the feeling the topmost devotee Radharani gets in loving him? Because he is the object of love. He is not the he is the object of love. He is not the person experiencing the love, right? So he doesn't know what is that experience. He knows how to receive that love. He doesn't know how to experience that love. So he wants to experience it. So that's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Radharani says, you know, when you feel separation from yourself, it's so intense, you cannot bear it. So I'm going to cover you with my color. That's why golden. Radharani is golden color. So she covers Krishna with her hue, color. So that when Krishna experiences that feelings of separation, no, it's not going to, you know, he can bear it. Because it's like she he has that, you know, that flavor of Radha Bhava. So only in that way Krishna doesn't know himself. He doesn't know that experience of love Radharani experiences. That's these are some esoteric subjects. Okay, so we'll read this paragraph. Is very nice. The way Prabhupada writes, it's like poetry. So next, second paragraph in the middle. Sometimes the impersonal is. So if you see, Prabhupada is reading from one characteristic to other characteristic. So we'll, when I will point you, after that you can see. Yeah.
Sometimes the impersonalist accepts Krishna as Bhagavan, or they accept his authority. Yet many liberated persons cannot understand Krishna as Purushottama, the Supreme Person. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him as Purushottama. Yet one still may not understand that Krishna is the father of all living entities. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him as Bhuta Bhavana. And if one comes to know him as the father of all the living entities, still one may not know him as the supreme controller. Therefore, he is addressed here as Bhutesha, the supreme controller of everyone. And even if one knows Krishna as the supreme controller of all living entities, still one may not know that he is the origin of all the demigods. Therefore, he is addressed herein as Deva Deva, the worshipful god of all demigods. And even if one knows him as the worshipful demigod of all demigods, one may not know that he is the supreme proprietor of everything. Therefore, he is addressed as Jagatpati. Thus, the truth about Krishna is established in this verse by the realization of Arjuna. And we should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna as he is.
So beautiful, right? So if you see, he is just leading from one quality to other quality. First, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, you can right side, you can write a chart if you want, you know. Bhagavan, arrow down, then Purushottama, Supreme Person, down, Bhuta Bhavana, then again Bhutesha, Bhuta Bhavana is father of all living entities, down, Bhutesha, Supreme Controller, down, origin of all demigods, Deva Deva, then again, proprietor of everything, Jagatpati, Lord of the Universe. So we have to know all these aspects of Krishna. You know, we're not just knowing one thing. Okay. Text number 16. Vaktum arhasi asheshena divyahi atma vibhutaya Yabir vibhuti birlokan imam stvam vyapyatishtasi. Please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. So here Arjuna is explicitly asking, no, please tell me about your opulences. That's what Krishna, after Arjuna's dialogue here, Krishna is going to detail all these opulences. As much as he says at the end, it's just a spark, as much as Arjuna can understand. So we'll read this purport.
In this verse, it appears that Arjuna is already satisfied with his understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. By Krishna's grace, Arjuna has personal experience, intelligence and knowledge, and whatever else a person may have. And through all these agencies, he has understood Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For him, there is no doubt, yet he is asking Krishna to explain his all-pervading nature. People in general and impersonalists in the particular concern themselves mainly with all-pervading nature of the Supreme. So Arjuna is asking Krishna now how he exists in all-pervading aspect through his different agencies. One should know that this is being asked by Arjuna on behalf of Kamadeva.
Okay. So Arjuna is he has full understanding that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So only for common people, because they want to perceive the Lord through energies. right? All of us, we want to see how Lord manifests his magnanimous nature through his energy. So he's asking for us, you know, show how we can see you in this material universes. So that's for us, he's asking. So you can underline this last line, no? Arjuna is asking Krishna how he exists in his all-pervading aspects through his different energies for others' sake. You know, basically these two, I think it's in the question answers, these two purports, next, this 16 and 17, there are three reasons Arjuna has, why he is asking these questions, why Arjuna is asking to Krishna to show his opulences. First answer, first point was there in this verse, and the second two will come in the next verse. Text number 17. Katam vidyam aham yogim stvam sada parichintayan keshu kechu cha bhaveshu chintyosi bhagavan maya. O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you? And how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? So again, you know, he's emphasizing his question. Clarifying, you know, I want to know all these things. Okay. Let's read from, so Arjuna out of his mercy, about like 15th line. Like.
So Arjuna out of his mercy, because he is a Vaishnava, a devotee, is opening for the common man the understanding of the all pervasiveness of the Supreme Lord.
That's the second point if you want to write down next to it.
He addresses Krishna specifically as yogi because Sri Krishna is the master of the yoga maya energy by which he is covered and uncovered to the common man. The common man who has no love for Krishna cannot always think of Krishna, therefore he has to think with reality.
Yeah, that's the third point.
Arjuna is considering the mode of thinking of the materialistic persons of this world. The words kesu kesu cha bhavesu refer to material nature. Dura bhava means physical things. Because materialists cannot understand Krishna spiritually, they are advised to concentrate the mind on physical things and try to see how Krishna is manifested by physical representations.
That's the point. So he's asking for people, common people who cannot understand, you know, cannot understand but the all-pervasive nature of the Lord. So they just want to see him in this, you know, material world through his energies. And people, especially materialistic people, they can understand only through matter. If you explain something through matter, you just tell there is spirit soul which is invisible, you cannot see, they don't want to do anything with it. But if you tell them something tangible for them, they can understand. That's why Prabhupada says, Krishna says, I am a taste of water. So for somebody who is very much addicted to drinking, right, he says while drinking alcohol you remember Krishna. This is the taste I am experiencing here, this is Krishna. If he does like that, he is making advancement. He says like that, you know. Somehow or the other, we are remembering Krishna. It doesn't mean, you know, somebody who is not supposed to drink goes and drinks and remembers Krishna. No, like that. It's not the rule. Basically, you know, there are different levels of mathematics, right? Mathematics at ABC, you know, very low level. And there is algebra, arithmetic, and then algebra and all other complicated. Now, when somebody is already in a graduate, postgraduate level study, he doesn't need to go and learn again basic 1 plus 1 is 2, right? So there is different level for different people at level of advancement. So if you are already qualified at a higher level, we don't need to come down to do it.
Mataji, can you revisit the points 1, 2, 3 which one you said?
Yeah, so the first one, you want to, how do I say, should I paraphrase or should I show where
just,
it is?
Just the words, which one you are saying, first point, second point?
Like verse number 16, the first point was there, where it says Arjuna is asking, through his energies, he wants to see. For a common man, he wants to show how Lord is existing through his all-pervading aspect. And the second one is there in the first part of the phrase we read, right? Common man, same thing, you know. As a Vaishnava, he wants to help other people. That's another point. As a Vaishnava, he wants to, not only he understands, he wants to help others understand. Third point is, because people, materialistic people can only think materially. So he wants to Krishna to show how materially he can be seen. So the 3 points. The another thing point is, symptom of love is remembrance. So Arjuna is saying here, how do I constantly think of you? That means essentially he's saying, how do I love you? Because symptom of love is remembrance. So one, I remember one incident Adhanath Maharaj shared in his lecture. He was telling how remembrance is so significant to understand that the other person loves me. Like, let's say the child or somebody goes abroad, right, on mother's birthday or something, you need not send him any gift, but if he just lifts the phone and says happy birthday mama, then the feeling that okay, my child remembered me, right, that feeling gives that happiness. That's the guarantee, or that's a proof that that person loves me. But if that is not there, that remembrance is not there, then you know there is no comfort or proof that there is love. Yeah, she's saying even if we hate, we remember that person. Yeah, that's true. That's how Kamsa also remembers Krishna always, but he's that in fear. Yeah, but for love, we should remember Krishna in a favorable way, in a loving way. We can remember him otherwise also, but here he's asking in a loving way. Yeah, it's difficult to hate. Actually, Kamsa is so great in that way. We cannot even hate Krishna like that. That's why he got liberated. We cannot be a demon like Kamsa also. If we try to do it, we'll be in the middle. Neither we love Krishna, neither we hate Krishna. Yeah. So that's why remembrance is the sign of love. It's a symptom of love. Can anybody share their experiences in your life? Like, something's related, proving this principle. Let's say something your child did or something which gave you that sense of happiness because of the love. Somebody remembered maybe your birthday or something. Where you felt like, this is that's the love actually.
When you did my baby shower, I was very touched actually. It came complete as a very surprise, and then all the devotees, they came. It was very nice feeling.
Yeah, that's right. Some remembrance, something special somebody does for us. Okay, I'm not remembering anything for me. Surprisingly.
I don't know that she is making cake and everything, but end of the day I got to know, but I was like nowhere, so I was not in the mood of celebrating also, but she...
Yeah, so when somebody does like that, you feel love, right? Immediately you feel, there is exchange of love. Yeah, I can share one incident. So after kids are born, like of course, since the time when I'm carrying, I was not so much, we were not able to see our Guru Maharaj. So of course we were exchanging email, and I mentioned that I'm going to have twins and everything. Maharaj was happy. It's a little bit once in a while email like that, and then they're born through his secretary. Our mentor, we asked for the names and Maharaj sent the names. That's all. After that, I was in this whole cycle of how to completely lost in this completely new life. And then not much email also, I was not doing much. But after I think a few months or something, suddenly I just sent a short email saying, I'm really lost, please give me your mercy. Let me come back to... Because first 3 months, it's all about milk, I can imagine my sister in that phase. All your consciousness is milk. Is there enough milk? Especially if you imagine two babies, I don't know how it will be. Krishna. So you'll be just remembering Krishna through milk. That's all. Taste of water. So anyway, that's one email I sent. I think after that or before that, I don't know what happened. Suddenly Rasika Mataji, she wished me for my birthday. That birthday after they are born, I think. They born in May. So August is my birthday. So they called me to wish me. And then they told, yesterday, sometimes Maharaj says something, but they don't get the context to share with me. But I will be so touched to hear, if at all, because that's the symptom of, that's the way we know they are remembering us, right? So then he told, yesterday, Maharaj suddenly said, Rasika, I have to go to Seattle now. They're planning US tour. He comes to US, different cities he visits. Then he's telling, I want to go this time, I want to go to Seattle. He used to come as long as they are there. After that, for a few years, he stopped actually. So it's known that he's not going to come. So then she was also surprised. So she has that rasa, you know, she challenges. She is like a mother to him actually. So she why Seattle now suddenly? What's happening? Who invited you there? Then she told, oh, you know what? There are two boys who are born. Just now they are born. Recently they are born. They want me to come and see them. Then he said, oh, you're talking about Maruti Narasimha. I said, yeah, I want to go see them. Then, yeah, that's all. That was the only conversation. That's what later she shared. I was like, oh, wow, what is this? You know, it's so nice, so special. Like, I felt somehow, out of the blue, suddenly remembered. It's like they have so many, you know, the preciousness of this, the way I always try to remember the statement which I think I heard from my Guru Maharaj. He says, whenever there was one exchange which Prabhupada had with him or something like that. So whenever he tries to quote that thing, he says always, no, Srila Prabhupada is so busy spreading Krishna consciousness movement in all the cities all over the world, everywhere. You know, he's so much absorbed in how to expand, how to give mercy to everyone. In his busy life, in his busy schedule, in his so much intimate love with Lord, he took a moment to remember poor me. He says, you know, that is his love, that is his mercy, you know. Somehow we are, you know, that's the way we should picture this whenever we have such incidents. You know, like, it's not casual, it's not ordinary, it's something special. Okay. So next one, text number 18, the last one. Vistarenatmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana bhuya kathaya triptirhi shunvato nashtite amrutam. O Janardana, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you. But the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Who knows the verse in Bhagavatam without reading the purport, which is similar to this? I think Mataji, these two Mataji should tell. They attended Bhagavatam verse. This is a Bhagavatam verse in first canto, first chapter. Similar verse. Yeah, no, it's, you can see it's given in the purport. We can read that. See, these last lines. When I read this verse, and immediately I remembered that last phrase, Swadhu Swadhu Pade Pade. That's what they say, the sages. That's a very nice phrase, easy to remember, so I remembered that. So that's what Prabhupada is also, you know, relating. He's saying, we can read the translation, one can never be satiated.
One can never be satiated, even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. Those who have entered into a transcendental relationship with Krishna relish at every step the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.19. Thus, Arjuna is interested in hearing about Krishna and specifically how he remains as the all-pervading Supreme Lord.
Okay, so that's the point about topics about Krishna, you know. Somebody who has that taste by Krishna's mercy, they like to hear the topics again and again. You know, it's, that is like nectar. That's what is the food for them. That's what they are thriving and striving. That's what they are, you know, it's keeping them going in their life. You know, the topics about Krishna. That's their life. That's, we have to come to that stage, you know, where we can, you know, we are so eager to hear. Actually, Krishna reciprocates again, same point actually. The eagerness to hear, that's how Krishna, you know, gives that happiness in hearing. If we are, you know, same thing, same points, keep repeating. Sometimes, you know, people used to say, initially, I used to be so, disappointed. No, yeah, it's the same points, you know, first chapter, second chapter, everywhere, it's the same points again repeated. Somebody says like that. No, yeah, but that's, you know, did we develop that attitude to, or rather, you know, that love to hear about the Lord? It's not about same topic. It's like, you know, we are talking about the Lord, you know. Okay, this is something about the Lord. It's so wonderful. I want to hear more and more, again and again, same thing.
But then we are also forgetful. That's why repeatedly Prabhupada says the same thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying, you know, even if it's say like that, like, you know, how much are we... have you experienced, you know, I think some of you have mentioned, for preparation for the presentations which we stopped, you know, we discuss that, you know, Friday we discuss, but sometimes for the preparation presentation we listen again same whole sequence, it feels again new, right?
Yeah,
it feels maybe because we forgot everything. That's one thing, but still it's something, some that's about Krishna, that's why it's called Navayavanamcha. He's always fresh. And also that's because that's our attitude actually. It's more than the speaker or the... That's our attitude. We want to receive Krishna through our hearing. When we have that attitude, Krishna reveals to us. So, that's the same thing. But if we say, you know, it's yet another same thing, or sometimes it's too much philosophy, I cannot understand. You know, sometimes, you know, Rama Padma Maharaj gave Brahma Samhita Seminar. Many devotees say, you know, oh, it's too high philosophy, I was felt sleepy. This. But where is our eagerness, you know? I am like, oh, some sadhu is coming, his Prabhupada disciple, he's ready to, you know, I just want to grab one drop of mercy, you know. If we have that eagerness, why will we feel sleepy? You know, it's not about, you know, so much different.
Mataji, this unpervadiveness means like pervadiveness, right? Pervasiveness. So means like he is present everywhere. Like right now, whatever I'm saying and you are saying, whatever we are talking, he can listen everything right this moment also. Like whatever conversation is happening. If I'm talking, if two more persons start talking, it gets noisy, chaotic, and you can't hear, right? Then for Krishna, it doesn't matter because he can hear everybody talking at the same time. But how can we conceive, like why haven't we tried to understand? Because we cannot conceive him that way, right? Imagining that two persons are talking, I can't hear. Neither I can hear him, neither I can hear you. But Krishna, think about like the population, just like here also, like this many people of the whole world universe. How can we try to even understand?
Yeah, we cannot try.
We cannot. Then why
we just accept.
Complete.
We should just accept. Yeah. We should just accept that, you know, it's beyond my mental ability. Yeah, it's inconceivable. Yeah, he's inconceivable. I cannot conceive it. We should just accept his power. One story, right? What story related to this topic? There's one story. Krishna is expert accountant. That's one story you can read. He was telling about Prabhupada is talking. Many times, sometimes I want to find this, I don't find it. But luckily, you know, this process is helping us. So when I find this, it feels so, you know, so precious gems I felt. You know, all these stories we collect, it's like so nectarian. So you can listen to it, see it if you want. And our website is published, expert accountant. In that, Prabhupada is mentioning that actually Krishna has to give exactly the body, exactly the person deserves and desires, based on exactly all the complex things we have. You know, we have so many desires, so many things going on in our life, exactly based on all the combination, he has to give perfect fit in the next life. But he said everything is account is kept, every small thing account is kept. He's expert accountant, he said, Prabhupada is saying. You know, imagine, and then in order to you know make it more vivid, he told, imagine how many living entities are in this universe. And there he says there are unlimited planetary systems within this universe. It's just Earth planet, right? There are unlimited planets within this universe, and there are unlimited universes. So how big his brain is, he's saying. Then how can, if there is a big brain, how can they say he's impersonal? If there's a brain, means there's a person, right? So everything, this one lecture, actually, these are not really the standard type of stories we collect, actually. I don't know whether you observed. These are very different. These are all philosophical concepts he's establishing based on that verse. He's establishing how God is a person. He's establishing how, you know, God is transcendental. He's establishing how, you know, because he's a brain, he's a person. So many, it's a very fantastic... Actually, this lecture I didn't hear. I was reading the transcript, but it was so wonderful, actually. The way he explains is like, oh my God, mind-boggling. See, so nice. Yeah, that's why. So we cannot, we just have to accept it. You know, we cannot understand it the way it is.
Just another thing, looking to Srila Prabhupada, most people who are like, who are atheists or who challenge God, one of them like asks Srila Prabhupada, can the Lord make a stone?
Yeah.
He himself cannot. I love the answer. Yeah, he'll make it. He'll come as another
incarnation.
So it's like, you know, you can never put that if
in a
then
box,
else
yeah.
loop on him. He can always
Yeah, if we just accept that phrase that, you know, okay, God can do anything. That's why there's a difference between Brahman and the cobbler. Cobbler story was there, right? Narada Muni wanted, you know, Vishnu, Narayana said, you know, okay, you ask the same question, then I'll tell you who is qualified to come back. Then, you know, cobbler, somebody can paraphrase.
I think Narada Muni goes.
Yeah.
Narada Muni goes to Brahmana and Narada Muni, if I'm missing Mata, you can.
You have to read the last paragraph still.
So, Narada Muni goes to Brahmana and Brahmana is doing his rituals very nicely. So Narada Muni asks Brahmana, I am going to Narayana house. If you have any question, I can ask him. So so he said, ask Narayana that how many years, when I will go back to you, go back to Godhead. So he said yes. So same thing, he went to cobbler and cobbler also asked the same question. I will do a little cut short.
Yeah, please, yeah.
So then Narada Muni went to Narayana, he asked about the Brahmana. So Krishna has told him, like, tell him after 100 more births he will come back to me. And for cobbler, tell him you will come back to me within this lifetime itself. So he went and he God asked to Narada Muni, also asked them that what I was doing when you're telling this information. So he said, tell them I was putting elephant in the eye of the needle. So he said okay. So he went back to Brahmana. So Brahmana asked him how many lifetimes, when I will go back to Godhead. He said 100 years, and then he said, what Krishna,
100
lifetimes you will go back. So he said, what God was doing, so he said he was putting the elephant in the eye of the needle. So I don't remember what he said.
Yeah, then he said, oh, how could it be possible? No, it's not possible. No, you didn't meet Narayana, you made it up. You're faking it.
So he, and then he went back to the cobbler, and then he said, you will go back to the God within this life. So then he asked the same question, what God was doing. He said he was doing...
Oh, they came.
He was putting the elephant in the eye of the needle. He said, yes, my Lord can do anything.
Yes, everything. And if he can give rise to a big banana tree from this seed,
banyan tree,
then he can do anything. So that's again same thing, difference of attitude, you know, faith.
Yeah, and difference was this, whatever just was explained in that story is about the proud, like Brahmana was in the
proud.
That's the reason he was not able to.
Proud also, and the lack of faith actually. No,
yeah.
That's the point about faith, is that ultimately, absolutely, we should understand Lord can do anything. If you can understand, you can accept it, that's good. Okay, let's read this last paragraph. Somebody quickly.
Now, as far as Amritam, nectar is concerned, any narration or statement concerning Krishna is just like nectar. And this nectar can be perceived by practical experience. Modern stories, fiction and histories are different from the transcendental pastimes of the Lord in that one will tire of hearing the mundane stories, but one never tires of hearing about Krishna. It is for this reason only that the history of the whole universe is replete with references to the pastimes and the incarnations of the Godhead. The Puranas are histories of bygone ages that relate the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. In this way, the reading matters for remains forever fresh despite repeated readings.
Haribol. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.